Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 403 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
And hey, a day late, but all good, fellas. Got some exciting shit coming, which is the reason why we're late this week. And I didn't even talk to you guys about it off the air before we started recording, but the feedback's great so far.
Excellent.
I had to re-record the last part of it this afternoon because they changed the wording of their disclaimer.
Ooh.
However, none of the other stuff, they never mentioned like any of the stuff leading up to that. So
beautiful.
That's the gone to the client for approval. So, and so like that's the client's feedback. Oh no, we've changed our disclaimer wording. So can you say this instead?
Let's hope they go for option A.
Here's the thing.
Get this. Option A is the only option they've got. I'm not giving them a choice unless they ask for a unless they ask for an option. You know what I mean?
Well, that
other one's in the back pocket.
Ah, see? That's ruined the fucking fun. I was going to say we sent them two options. One of them, a tame option. And we're never going to tell you which one they've chose.
I think it'd be fairly obvious. Like the tame option was extremely tame. So I'm like, that's just going to stay in the back pocket. And if they want to have another option, then go for it. And as it turns out, no, they do not.
How good.
So it's you gotta love it when you've got a client that is dealing like bringing this up now. Do you remember Glenn back in the day? Like this is way back in the day, and we had like someone emailed the old hello at thisweekinleague.com email address.
Yeah,
and they sort of emailed and they said, I've listened to the show and. And I wanted to advertise on the show, but there's just the language used is just terrible. And this was really early. This was like first year we were doing it, probably, right?
And, it was within the first sort of 20 episodes.
Yeah. First sort of 6 months to a year. Yeah. I wanted to spend a chunk of change on advertising my business, but the language is just blah blah blah.
Terrible. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure we said fuck off then.
Well, no, I wrote an email that was fucking like the things I said
scathing.
About this guy. It was scathing, and I forwarded it to you and said, look, I'm just running this past your desk just to see if there's anything you'd like to add to it, and you were just like, you can't say any of that. And so, like, I think, and so I think I got you saying, like, yeah, okay, what can I say? And you're like that. And I basically just spiced up some of what you said, but just to make it clear to the person that, like, you've clearly misjudged us entirely because it doesn't matter what kind of fucking money you've got. And if that's your attitude, you clearly don't listen to the fucking show anyway.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure what your fucking troll game's all about, but we're not fucking interested in you or your fucking company, mate.
And I'm sure we've said something like this just recently when someone asked about the origins or how the show came about, but at the very core of this show is a legitimate zero fucks given for any of us to be fucking journalists or jobs in footy or working in sport.
Yeah,
you know what?
Any of that shit.
We've already fucking got our shit going on. This is something we do for fun and to hang out with some good cunts. And and what's been created here over the last 12 years just can't be fucked with, no matter what money you have and if you strip all that other bullshit away, and there's not this underlying agenda that's someday I'm going to get a job in footy or a job in the media. So I better be careful what I say. It gives a sense of, not a sense, but it's a freedom that plenty of other people just don't fucking have because they have to hold back.
Yeah, I don't wake up every morning going, fuck yeah, back on my journey to get closer to Paul Kent. Can't wait to record another episode of I Want to Be Like That Fucking Bald Cunt Throwing Shade at Canberra.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is then the full circle moment does come around then when you actually get the biggest company that's ever wanted to have anything to do with the show coming to you and you know, with very lucrative fucking deal because of the authenticity of what you do.
Exactly.
And established over like a decade or so. So it's fucking great. And I can't remember who that guy's name was. I just want to say his name was probably like Greg or something. He sounded like a Greg to me. So go fuck yourself, Greg. Hope you get your hole creamed.
Yeah. Eat a dick, Greg.
I hope you've gone bankrupt in the last 12 years, you cunt.
By advertising on some fucking vanilla cunt fucking show that fucking says everything you want them to say, you fucking...
Yeah. Yeah, and like honestly, this Greg or whatever his name was, like there was never any, it was really just a way of him trying to give like a backhander fucking troll or like, you know, shit on us or whatever.
Although I do know those sorts of people, and you find them if you haven't met them already, dear listeners, that's probably because your kids haven't started school. Because once they do, you meet a metric shit ton of fucking Gregs, and you know what? They are all fucking GIGs. They are Gregs in gravy. Dipped in spicy gravy.
Oh, absolute Greg lovers everywhere. And you'll never find them in this show.
And I guarantee what that guy's done is had some fucking big thing that he wants to advertise to footy fans. And so he's searched up for a rugby league podcast, listened to 30 seconds of it.
Yep.
And then try to take the fucking moral high ground.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing was though, back then when that email would have come through, it would have been back in the day where I used to spend a day to fucking edit an episode, and I'd bleep out every single fucking thing.
Yeah,
like every single thing. And so, yeah, times have changed.
Yeah,
and
if any Gregs had have tuned in when my ghostwriter gave me my material about Alex McKinnon's family fucking structure. Yes. That's exactly. Not going to end well.
Anyway, good times ahead. Look forward to you guys getting around it and more information soon. Let's get into the results. The results episode, of course, it's usually on Sunday night. The first game on Thursday night, the Melbourne Storm 40 defeated the Brisbane Broncos 12 at Suncorp. The Storm's 40 came through a double to Brandon Smith, Nico Hines, Tui Kamikamika, Addo Carr, Jennings, Cooper Johns also with tries, Nico Hines 6 of 7 conversions. The Broncos 12 came through tries to Kobe Hetherington and Jesse Arthurs, Jermaine Osako 2 conversions.
Melbourne Storm definitely winning the who does system team the best competition currently.
And they are the undefeated champions probably for the last fucking 15 years running on that respect.
But have a very good running buddy at the moment in the Roosters.
Yeah.
As in the Roosters have been doing their best to, you know, maybe not emulate Melbourne specifically, but emulate that style of culture of having, you know, one man out, next man up.
Yep.
But Melbourne, like to lose arguably the best half in the game at the moment, or the most influential half in the game at the moment in Munster, to lose, you know, one of the top two fullbacks of the last 3 or 4 years, and whatever other outs they had.
Their number one hooker choice.
Yeah. And realistically go close to not missing a beat.
Sounds even fucking more impressive when you spell it out like that.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of under the pump at a point there, but Brandon Smith, like, just when you think he's kind of becoming obsolete there because Harry Grant's great and the future and blah, blah, blah. And then when he's not there, though, Brandon Smith, single-handedly inspires that team, keeps them in games, does the thing that gets them rolling, does the thing that gets them back when they're down. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, he's such a great guy to have in your back pocket, and someone is like, you know, there's all, not disrespected, but like, you know, borderline fucking expendable when it comes time for contract renewals.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And who is the obvious choice to go now? You know, he was the heir apparent to Cameron Smith, and now all of a sudden he's second fiddle to Harry Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely sensational game from him. The disappointing thing for Anthony Milford was as I am wont to do, I lit candles. I lit fucking candles, and I did not curse the Milford. And I was saying that if he can just be serviceable for the next 4 months, like just be average, you know?
Yeah.
Here's this thing. Next year, Milf, no kicks. You don't ever have to fucking kick a ball again. Ever. We got Reynolds coming through. He's going to kick every fucking set. But unfortunately, in this game, Anthony Milford proved that he can't fucking pass either. Like,
yeah.
Things are going from bad to worse to like, it's untenable now.
Like, I'm at pity stage. I'm past trolling.
Mm.
Like, I'm past making fun. The comedy's gone. That kid needs fucking help, and he's not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's woeful what that club's done to that kid's career.
Yep. I mean, maybe he needs to go to England and fucking win a Man of Steel and come back a changed player or something. I don't know, but I mean, they fucking give him they give him to, you know, you go over there with a fucking Australian passport and they fucking give you one.
It's like a fucking daytime Emmy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, I've gone into cardiac arrest. You can't fucking say that.
No, you cannot and should not, motherfucker.
Fucking dare you. You
fucking bang out of line. Do you have anything you want to say about this Broncos game? You want to speak about the Broncos? I mean, I'm sure the Broncos fans, they thought they had something after last week.
Yeah. The only point I wanted to make is and I've probably been banging on about him for a couple of weeks now, but Nico Hines, I've got a feeling, as much as the Storm want to keep him, if they don't happen to lock him down very shortly, I think there's going to be a club out there that fucking goes the 5-year max deal for Nico Hines. Yeah. I honestly feel that's what's going to happen.
I think there's no chance they keep him. I mean, it's great that Melbourne Storm, you know, they keep on winning and they've got the system and stuff like that. But inside of that system, where there's a fit Cameron Munster and there's a fit Pappy, there's no place for, like, they can't put him in there. They can't put him in their first grade side. And this is a guy that's proven repeatedly over the last month or whatever that he's he's definitely a first grade player. He definitely deserves a starting spot and an 80-minute spot in a team somewhere. And there's teams out there that have got the fucking holes that need to be patched by.
Does he just pick up Milford's contract?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I heard the Broncos is a possible landing destination for him.
Yeah.
I mean, all power to the kid. The way he's playing.
Yeah.
But it's not been long enough and consistent enough, but you know some clubs are thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Five years, 850 grand or something fucking ridiculous.
I really think the Ben Hunt incident has scared a lot of clubs off. If you look around the league at the moment, who are the, and you know, it might be 100 grand either way, who are the $1 million halfbacks? It's Anthony Milford.
Yeah.
Ashley
Taylor, yeah.
What's Corey Norman on?
800K. He's on like 8 or 9, isn't he? Yep. Ben Hunt's on 9.
Ben Hunt?
Yeah.
You know?
Fucking Dragons got 2 of them. Fuck.
Manly are playing Dally Cherry Evans $1 million a year to be good when his fullback's there. Like,
he's great.
You never miss an opportunity.
Not only that, he also fucking won Origin for his state against the insurmountable odds last year, much to my fucking disgust. Believe me, it gives me no pleasure to say that, but, you know. It's fucking It happened.
But how many million-dollar halves are performing? You know, worth that much of your salary cap? So I really think people are hesitant.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of performing, but like I think that even what Dragons get out of Ben Hunt, even when he's seems to be better than he has been for them.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been worth it in past years. Probably still overpriced for what they're getting out of him now. Ash Taylor can't even fucking crack it for first grade.
Yeah.
We haven't even mentioned Luke Brooks. He's on 800.
What? Is he? He's on 800.
800, yeah. And then the
Cleary sure signed some fucking shit contracts when he was coaching that side.
But even if you take DCE out of the equation, you've got Jerome Hughes. Like, what Jerome Hughes is what on 200 grand? 300 grand?
I dare say he'd be on more than that, but yeah, I mean, he's not on bullshit money.
He'd be maybe 350 to 4, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Someone with like numbers, let us know if you know. Yeah. If someone you can decipher
Grover, fucking surely. Well, how would you fucking know? I'd say Jerome Hughes, 75 Melbourne. Grand.
Yeah. Fuck. Gold plated headgear every game. I get what you're saying. And definitely, I reckon it's those clubs, and there's that one idiot in there with their finger just like poised over the pay $1 million button.
But I
think there's enough people to talk them down at the moment.
The thing is, to Nicho Hynes, I don't think it has to be a 5-year $1 million deal. I think to get him into your side and prize him from the Storm, all it would take is decent cash and say you're playing first grade, you're our fullback, you got the one or whatever he wants to play, if he wants to play for six or something like that. If you're a team that needs a one or a six, then
you just hope that there's somebody talking to him that can show him the difference, between here's Ash Taylor. Was rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And played with a pack of useless fucks. And now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cast our mind back. He's young DCE and foreign, fresh out of fucking nappies, but playing with rep players in the majority of other positions, win a premiership and go on to have successful careers.
Mm.
Think very fucking hard about where you land.
Mm-hmm.
Then and it comes to like, a generational thing, though.
And even look at even and even then you can even split Foran off from DCE and say, and look at Foran went to Parramatta and fucking washed out in a couple of months, and then ultimately wound up. And I mean, like obviously you had problems outside the game stuff.
Like people early in their career, that's the comparison.
Oh yeah, sure.
But then it becomes a generational thing as well, given his age, and it speaks to your point about hoping that there's someone there to have these type of mature discussions and enforce that level of thinking upon him. In that there's a certain generation that probably couldn't give a fuck about career success if they're getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. Anyway, the socials on that game. Ash in the Facebook group said, it's Broncos performances like that that make lockdowns in Melbourne bearable. Yes, and thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Melbourne. I'm now a religious person. So obviously you've done something and you're being punished by a higher power. As Rona seems to come to all states and we shut that shit down with no additional cases.
It's crazy how their cases fucking stack up when they do a snap lockdown like we've done a snap lockdown and they don't unearth any extra cases for ours.
Yeah.
And then Victoria starts fucking throwing out, 11 a day.
Yeah.
Fuck you doing down there?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some systems in Melbourne that just don't fucking work. I mean, the rugby league one's great.
Yeah, exactly. Ben said, scans are in. It's not good news. Broncos have been confirmed as having stage 3 MILFnoma, the second deadliest form of NRL cancer. You can find a link to their GoFundMe page on McDonald's website. Cameron said, if only our power station had exploded 48 hours later and plunged Milton into darkness for that entire cock show. Thanks a lot, CS Energy. Topical. Just for those not in Brisbane, we had a gigantic blackout.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I didn't. Did you lose power? I didn't lose power in that.
No.
At all.
I don't know. Graham. So as poor as the Broncos are this year, the coach is giving them no chance. I'm now actually feeling sorry for Milf and the woeful coaching he's had to be subjected to. There you go.
They weren't complaining about the coaching last week, though, when they beat the fucking Roosters, you know, the decimated Roosters side with the same fucking situation on the field.
You know, if you've been through a dry spell and your mates chip in to get you a renter, you know, you're going to brag about how she looks, aren't you?
Yeah.
And Kevin said, a bit late, but fuck it. I see a lot of Broncos fans thinking we'll be fine next year because we have Reynolds. I'll say it again. Broncos' biggest issue is fitness and defensive consistency. If they went out and defended like they did against Penrith certainly weren't at their best. But they'd be an entirely different team. One of the oldest halves in the comp isn't going to fix our defensive issues. Broncos need to hire some really gun fitness and defensive coaches. Start putting some real fundamentals into these apparently young superstar kids. Not a bad point.
Fair.
Too bad the best defensive coach in the game is now at Newcastle.
Yeah, and obviously didn't pass on anything in the previous year.
That's it.
Previous 2 years. Right, the Cowboys 29 defeat the Warriors 28 in a thriller up there at the Abattoir. The Cowboys 29 came through tries to Cole Felt, Talangi, Clifford, Drinkwater, and Taboa Fidoe. Val Holmes, 4 conversions and a field goal. The Warriors 28 had double to Ewan Aitken. Reece Walsh, Marcelo Montoya, Ben Murdoch-Masila with tries. Nick Arima, 4 of 5 conversions.
Are the Warriors the biggest down-to-the-wire team in the history of sport?
Down-to-wire and not making it?
No, not the Warriors, the Cowboys.
I think so. I mean, it's fucking undisputable that the amount of time, you know, close games like this they've had.
Yeah.
And it feels... Because do you remember it was like a period there, it wasn't like last year, maybe not even the year before, but for a couple of years before that, every Broncos game was the same?
Yeah.
It was always around that grand final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and even afterwards, though, I mean, it's just crazy, this streak of like 1-point games that they pulled out. But yeah, look, I mean, this is a game where the Cowboys were well and truly in control of this game, and then they well and truly lost control of this game and somehow found a way to come back. Man, I tell you, this Jake Clifford situation is fucking weird, and like it's so disappointing for him.
Because
did you see after the game, like, you know, when he was up by the crowd and, you know, getting the photos and everything?
Yeah.
And in the dressing room as well? Yeah. Like, I mean, that kid did not want to fucking play for another team.
No.
But that was it. That was his last Cowboys game.
Mm. But how does, like, just to completely, and I've said it several times, we've discussed it, but to completely fuck their season, which started out poorly but is now really building impressively.
Yeah.
And to completely fuck it when you've got, kids that are coming on and really developing well, and you're going to blow that up for Chad Townsend and an untried Dearden.
It's a great move for Dearden, given that he'll have another 6 months. To get a head start and cement something with Drinkwater.
Yep.
And, you know, and if they're the established combination and, you know, they somehow drag the Cowboys into the eight or something by the end of the season, then it doesn't matter what Chad does. They're going to probably be the incumbent duo. But this game, like Val Holmes, I think he's been pretty good this year, but I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be what he was, but... Yeah, when we're talking about returnees from NFL attempts, he's fucking he's back in the game now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, like, well, it's his second match winning field goal for the season. Yeah. You know, contrast that to someone like Milford, you know, Holmes, he wants the ball in his hands, puts himself in a position and executes. I think it's his experience and his profile, in and amongst that, you know, some of the younger guys in that roster that is probably his greatest attribute to that club.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's.
But they're starting to get value for money out of him.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
And there was a time there where I thought that wouldn't happen. Like, that would never happen. But they're definitely doing it now. That field goal, I mean, like, I've seen fucking Daly rip some, but that was almost a two-pointer. Yeah. I mean, that was probably like about a foot away from being a two-pointer. At first I thought it was, because he was pretty much set up on that 40-meter line when he went for it, but he was a fucking cracker. As opposed to the Warriors, who had a red-hot chance immediately before.
Yeah.
And the second they missed that, you just knew it was game over and the Cowboys weren't going to fuck their chance, because you saw their forwards just got into victory formation and it was just fucking one out, carted up 15 metres, carted up, and they just brought them up where they needed to be and, you know, game over.
Yeah, that's it.
But enjoyable game, surprisingly so.
Look, you know, and we all know why it is. I'm down for the fucking, you know, go through 80 minutes of back and forth to get to that last five.
The game leading, like the play leading up to it, you know, it was, you know, there are sometimes games that people feel are rescued by, you know, the chaos in the end when you know it's a tied game. But this was actually a decent game. I mean, we got to see some more of Reece Walsh, and people are, you know, really, you know, like blowing him. And I feel, you know, it's unfortunate for the young man. I mean, because he's going to wind up like another Ponga, you know, in terms of the media scrutiny, and. And again, you know, he's like Ponga. He showed, you know, he's obviously a talent. He's attacking wise, but defense. Look, I saw a tweet going around from some journalist, and I cannot fucking remember who it was, and I'm not going to look it up because, you know, that's not how I roll. But he was basically saying that, like, Reece Walsh went to the Warriors because the Broncos wouldn't put him in first grade ahead of Jermaine Isaacco, and the Warriors have got him and they've moved on the fucking great, you know, RTS to the wing. Look,
fuck off.
While I agree with, you know, some of the basics on that tweet, at the end of the day, if RTS was playing fullback for this game and Reece Walsh was like on the wing, or he was like, you know, RTS was playing fullback in defense and Reece Walsh would, you know, move to fullback and, you know, come into sort of the halves or whatever for attack. I tell you, if RTS was a fullback, the Warriors win that fucking game, because Reece Walsh got absolutely destroyed twice trying to make that last tackle to shut down a try.
To coin a phrase from another podcast I listen to, I need to keep it a buck here, right? Keep it 100. And say, I fucking love trolling the Broncos as much as anybody for the players that they fucking let go.
Mm-hmm.
However, how many clubs in that exact same position do exactly the same thing? Mm. Fucking answer, all of them.
Yeah.
If you have Jermaine Isaacco, who is a quality player in his position, kicks goals, fucking unlimited effort on the field, and you've got this up and coming kid that wants you to put him in first grade over that guy. No, like, no club does it, and then they move on to another club.
Yeah.
So it's no less fucking hilarious, because in clubs like Melbourne, people stick around in Reggies, and they'll stick around for 2 years. You know, like Nico Hines, and say, "Rightio, I'll take my opportunities during Origin or during injuries, and just do what the club needs me to do and build my value that way." This kid went, "Nah, fuck you, I'm out." Mm.
And does RTS even get moved to the wing if he's not leaving at the end of the year?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, on the other side of things, with the Warriors, you've got a guy who is going to a different code at the end of the year, and who, by all reports, is one of the most agreeable human beings on the face of the planet, as in... Yep, no worries, whatever's best for the team, coach. So, yeah, no, not comparable. Mm. Fuck off, you click-mongering cunt.
Socials.
Anti-social.
Get to the socials, you anti-social cunt.
David said, fuck yeah, cows jag a win, Broncos copper hiding, and my Twill Nation membership pack arrived. What a fucking time to be alive. It is, David, it is.
Good times.
Peter said, very professional from the Warriors trainer. Looking into the eyes of Reece Walsh during his HIA assessment and resisted the urge to shove his tongue down his throat. Carsten, our good old mate, Swiss Cowboy, _78, flying the Cowboys flag over in, I don't know, fucking Auschwitz or wherever he lives. Clutch field goals in Townsville is nothing new, but I was nearly adding a 44 to my handle for that cunt in the middle. Obviously over the incorrect play the ball call, yes. I believe. Yes. At David Beetson told us it was a nail biter. It certainly was, sir. And Egg Council Creeper said, I've said this once, I'll say it a million times. How good are #million-dollar field goals? There you go. There's another million-dollar player. Val Holmes.
Mm, yep. There you go. And I tell you, as if like one thing that I could have to speculate, this is all speculation, of course, but I would almost put money on the fact that fucking Reece Walsh dances in front of his fucking mirror in a feather boa tucked back to fucking Goodbye Horses. For sure. Is that a reference you get?
No! No! I knew you were going to ask me, and I'm like, I'm not sure I want to know, but I don't.
I'll send you a YouTube clip from the movie when we're doing our debrief and waiting for your shit to export after we finish recording. Okay. The West Tigers 34 defeated the St. George Illawarra Dragons 18 at Bankwest. The Tigers 34 came through a double to James Roberts. Nofaluma, Laurie, Seafarth and Talau with tries. Dewey, 4 conversions and a penalty goal. The Dragons 18 tries to William, Hunt and Amoni and 3 conversions. Corey Norman. Glenn, enjoy yourself.
Look, I intend to. Much better performance from the Tigers, albeit against the Dragons, who, you know, I can't remember the last time the Dragons even came close to beating the Tigers. They are now well and truly with a firm grasp on our pocket, and don't their fan base love it? They... The Dragons, I thought, the biggest observation I had of the Dragons, and I'll get to a couple of points on the Tigers, but I honestly think the game and the way it's played in 2021, it seems to have passed Corey Norman by. I don't think he's...
The fucking old version and the version before passed Corey Norman by, though.
I don't think he's up to it. I don't think he's got the, you know, grit your teeth and you know, teach an old dog new tricks and get your fitness level up. It just seems disinterested. And I think it's also having an impact on Ben Hunt's game. And it's, you know, he cops a lot of flack from the Dragons fan base, and rightly so, but I don't know how long he's got left on his contract. But do you, you know, with the money we already discussed earlier, what the sort of money he's on, he could probably, you know, if Milford's getting a couple of stints in reserve grade and getting hooked, surely Corey Norman's probably due a lengthy stint for fucking Illawarra or someone.
You'd think.
Yeah. I don't think he's up to it mentally and physically. I don't think he has the fitness level to really compete, the way, you know, with the speed of the game this year. For the Tigers, Dane Laurie was great again. Probably had his, you know, as great as he's been all year, probably had his best game for the club. James Roberts, definitely, he's had some fucking stinkers this season, but he first game back, he had his best game for the club and got a couple of tries. And I think, as much as I'm loath to agree with the commentators, I can't remember who specifically made the point, but they said maybe wing is James Roberts' best position, so he doesn't have to overthink positionally at centre or you know, passing the ball, etc. He can just worry about running and get back to get some of his confidence back, and probably tend to agree with it in the fact that.
So tell me, what do you think the chances are that the West Tigers will do something to help a player that has over and over again showed poor positional choices?
Not
in the wing.
Well, they'll probably continue to play him out of position, and continue to watch him make those same decisions, and then the press conference continue to say we've got a little bit to work on. But look,
well, this is the thing. I mean, like, you want to talk for a reward for effort. You said that Dane Laurie had his best game for the club, and you said that the James Roberts had his best game for the club. But then, meanwhile, you've got through the week, James Roberts has his best game, and then so what do the Tigers do? They sign fucking Gildart from England. Dane Laurie has his best game for the club, and it's looking like they're gonna grab DWZ off the doggies before June 30.
He'll be a winger.
Gildart
or MI6 secret agent from England. He'll be to replace Joey Leilua. He'll be punted, or maybe they'll go the 1 year deal, perform year on year, and we'll keep giving you 1 year deals. But I think that's the plan.
Man, I've said it before. If you can keep him there, the DWZ on the wing who wants to play fullback can be an exceptionally valuable player. DWZ that's given everything that he's ever wanted is not a great
option. What about DWZ playing on the wing, wants to play fullback, but will never have the opportunity to play fullback as long as Dane Laurie's there?
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. Keep him out there.
Yeah.
Keep him
so
out
he doesn't
there.
Lose motivation, you know, when it's obvious that he's never going to get a start at fullback?
Well, he goes to Canterbury, which, okay, great. Fuck you. At least we don't have to keep pretending we like these shit watches.
I was just going to say, or he goes back to making fucking Chinese watches.
Yeah, that's it. Like, no one gets angry at Dallin when he's late to training.
We understand, mate. Pretty shitty timepiece. look, it'll be a fantastic universe, and all my dreams of undefeated seasons have come true if we just play the Dragons and the Knights alternate weeks forever and ever, amen. But sadly, that's not the case.
Even in a conference system, unfortunately.
Yeah. But anyway, fuck the Dragons, fuck their fans, and it was lovely to get yet another win over the Dragons and continue our domination.
Fantastic. In the Facebook, Toto said, Dragons players trying to get dropped so they don't have to play with JDB next week.
How long before he comes in, you reckon?
Next week.
Okay.
Yep, I reckon next week.
I mean, if he read like the reports, he's been training, room. You know, training with the club the entire time through there. So, you know, yeah, I would imagine if he's fit enough. I mean, they want to chuck him in straight away because remember as well, they got a bunch of guys suspended and shit. So, I mean, I guess if they feel he's up to the rigors.
Yeah,
that's it.
Interesting first fucking game though.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
It's not from the players, though, because the players don't give a fuck.
Mate, the players are on fucking Instagram throwing love heart eye emojis at him.
Mm.
Exactly.
Fuck that entire organization.
Yeah.
One-Eyed Tiger.
The NRL, that is. It's like literally all these cunts.
There's undefeated, no asterisk against the creditless Knights, fireless Dragons in 2021. All we do is win against the worst. How embarrassing for them. Stephen said, I'm waiting for Griffin to blame their loss on Indigenous round. Devonhead says, going to start calling the Dragons Christmas holidays because they give us about 4 weeks of joy and relaxation every year. And John said, every year I stand up in April and cheer, thinking I've found hope. Then I sit down in May and feel nothing but chocolate-covered caramel and nougat entering my hemorrhoid-riddled, distended rectum. By September, the only thing left resembling a red V is the skin marks in my Reggies.
Jeez, that's descriptive. far more descriptive than I needed, if I'm honest.
Jeez, that's going to cost us a Greg sponsor.
Unless Greg owns a company that sells bleach. then it's topical.
Yeah, or a beauty company that sells the services of anal bleaching.
Ooh. Nice.
Oh, here's your first.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Here's your first new customer.
Yeah, is that a like you wouldn't you shouldn't just do that with normal bleach, do you? It's like probably some cosmetic thing.
Look, it stings, but you can get
it's
used to
definitely
it.
It's most definitely a cosmetic thing. I'm sure of it. Unless it's just like, you know, big cosmetics, you know, just you know, trying to monopolize it so they can charge fucking women who are sensitive about their brown eye.
They're just splashing fortune. They're just splashing White King on them.
They just fucking just grab a chucks and some fucking armor all fucking Windex or something.
Mr. Sheen.
You imagine that, and then all of a sudden, suddenly they pass these fucking truth in advertising laws. The company has to change their fucking slogan to "Come and Windex, you cunt."
Welcome to our new corporate overlords.
welcome, new listeners too. I mean, this is a rare one.
You get what you get, and you don't get upset.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into us this week, but I'm fucking loving it. It's good times.
Oh, you know, you're the one that brought up fucking Greg.
Yeah, this is true. This
you
is
know
true.
How we feel about Greg's.
Greg and his fucking gravy. Bunch of Greg lovers. Now, do you have socials from that game? I can't remember where we're at.
Did I just read
them? Just read them out. Was that unprofessional?
Go for it.
I don't know if we. Yeah, I meant. Has he had any more socials? I wasn't sure if we'd gotten to the last one or not.
This is legit Penrith's game against the Broncos right here. It's our worst game of the year, and we're still ahead by far.
Yeah, I can just tell. I can see the Facebook art on the game thread for this episode, and it's going to be the favourite one of the year. I'm sure of it. The Panthers 30 defeat the Bulldogs 4 at I keep fucking forgetting. What's that fucking call again? The glory hole. That's right. The glory hole. I need to bash that into my into my brain with a through a small orifice with a. With a pointy object. The Panthers 30 came through a double to Charlie Staines. Lemieux, Momorowski, Burton, Crichton tries. Cleary, 3 conversions. And the Doggies, a solitary try to Shoop. And that's it. Regrettably, it wasn't the multi-palooza.
Yeah, true.
That we all thought it would be, and you know, like with you know, ridiculous 60s and 70s predicted, and X amount of fucking tries, and here's Brian Toto going to get fucking 7 tries in the game. Regrettably, it was far less entertaining than that, as the Doggies refused to fit
this
the narrative.
Is the player with the most salt and pepper song inspiring name plays for such a shit cunt club? Where he will never get the true appreciation he deserves.
Not listening to the game, but actually just you know watching it with the sound down. Tell me that they at least over the PA when he scored the try, they at least fucking put it
plain
on.
Shoe.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Again, it seems that the Panthers are on this roll and happily for me. Of getting in and doing what they need to do, of assessing a situation and realizing exactly what they needed to do. And they summed the Dogs up and they put exactly as much energy into this game as it deserved. They walked that line between underestimating your opponent, you know, because clubs have done that to the Dogs and they've paid the price for it this year. But they went
club,
in there.
Club.
Yeah, sorry,
I mean,
club.
Like just one time.
Club, no plurals, and just did exactly what they needed to do. They played sharp. They played smooth. They just did Penrith things. You know, the forwards did their forwards. I'm at fucking Groundhog Day. What else do I say about them? They keep fucking winning. How many more superlatives do I have for this team?
None required. Glenn, do you have anything to say?
Oh, look, it was clinical. And
It was clinical in the second half. I mean, they weren't great in the first half at all.
But have to be, though. That, as you know, to Jay's point. But I think the only thing really in Penrith's way right now is if, and again, we've touched on this in previous episodes, but whether they can stay up mentally through this Origin period and those sort of challenges, which will be a test of their system, as we put it.
That's it.
You know,
which they're not at the moment. They are not a system team.
To get there, you've got to fucking learn, and you can't say the biggest thing. And this is not trolling at all. I think Penrith are this season with the way they've, you know, with what they did last year and what they've done so far this year, it's fucking outstanding. You can't take it away from them, but I think they're going to hit a point as they hit these, you know, these sort of challenges. Like we say, okay, they're going to develop into one of these system type clubs, and there's nothing to say they won't do that. But if they get it right, there's every opportunity for this to be potentially a dynasty, right? And a different type of dynasty because of the way that these younger guys have come up through the grades together. So of all the dynasties and stuff, and say we want about Melbourne Storm and two sets of books and all the rest of it, they could legit have these guys all being paid unders, so to speak, to keep playing together because they all get it. They all get – that's the connection. That's what they love doing.
Yeah.
And I think the only – if they get it right, the only thing that breaks it up is – if they, you know, they win a few comps or whatever, and then all of a sudden, well, you know, fucking, we've done it. Let's go earn some big coin elsewhere.
yeah, exactly. And I think they're going to look at the Burtons of the world, you know, if he actually goes. Mm.
To be honest, there hasn't really been any suggestion he's not going to follow through.
Yeah, there has been.
No, it's just like there's been like the fucking like the Panthers and his little fucking TikToks, mate, don't want him to go. But I don't think there's ever been any real. Let's face it, he can't backflip at this point anyway.
Look, there was the snapback when the Dogs were doing their whole, you know, let him play first grade.
By not releasing him,
you're actually hurting his progression or hurting his development.
Yeah,
let him play first grade. Penrith actually came back and said, if you really want to help his progression, let him stay.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, like, there's never been any actual, but, I mean, yeah, outside of just, like, you know, fucking high cap, and there hasn't been actually any real, you know, suggestion that he won't go over there.
Yeah, and Glenn, you're 100% right. Can they get that trajectory into the finals? Because last year, again, they'd started descending.
Mm.
They had that game against Brisbane where they weren't good at all. Then into the finals, they sort of played a little bit worse. They were lucky to get through Souths. And then they got into the grand final and played the exact opposite style of football that they'd played all year.
I also think it can go the other way in no matter what they do. Hypothetical, they go, it seems ridiculous to say, they go the whole year undefeated and lose the grand final again.
Yep.
Getting past that knock to the confidence at this stage of all their careers, I think that's a massive test.
It is. Yeah, 100%. Socials on that one. Michael said, Bulldogs and Junk Time Points. Name a more iconic duo.
Hmm.
There is not one. Ross said, as much as I am not a Panther supporter and don't need to give Jay any ammunition, I do love the young Panthers, not just in playing the game. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag Darius Cherry Evans, which is a new one I haven't heard before. Fantastic. Love that hashtag. Jason said, the result was never in doubt. Slightly less doubt about the margin. I knew that we were on a hiding to nothing, but as a true supporter, what you want is for every player, talented or not, to put in. We were still three or four quality players from becoming a side to being contention for the top eight, but there was moments, mostly in the first half, where the boys were holding their own against a far superior side. It was a little disappointing the score blew out at the end. That's it there. There was another tweet here that came in from a long-time supporter of the show, at @geo_ute. Did you guys see the NFL video or NFL-based video where that guy ran his dad through the videos with all of the team's logos.
Yes.
No,
and his dad had to guess what they were.
Yep. Just had to basically just go through the team's through the logos of the of each of the NRL NFL sides, and he had to sort of guess what the team franchise was called. Like, you know, for example, an easy one is like, you know, like New York Jets, for example. But then you've got ones like, you know, what's the, you know, like a New York, you know, what's the New England Patriots? You know, their logo is like, you know, the guy in the.
We'll send it to you so you can watch it. But Ree did this with her wife. And came up with the Brisbane Broncos, the Melbourne Thunder, the North Queensland Blues. She got the New Zealand Warriors. She got the West Tigers. Got the Dragons. It was the Penrith Pennies, the Canterbury Bulldogs, South Rabbits, Parramatta Eels, the Sydney Samurai, which is what the fuck, the Canberra Knights, Cronulla Sharks, the Gold Coast Goldfish. Newcastle, no, they're the Knights. And the Manly Seabirds.
Look, it's not it's not that far off. And I mean, like the I'm pretty sure the Seabirds is the name of the cheerleaders. So yeah, it's tangentially related to the club.
That's it. And Twitter of the year at chin_larden69 said, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologise to all the punters that placed filthy multis on this game. I myself went in heavy on me and my 16 teammates as any time try scorers. Next time, hashtag blinding lights.
You just keep trotting old Chin Larden out.
I love him. Fucking love him.
As I tell you, you thought, oh, Chin Larden's gone. I was like, no, I'm sure it's all one.
Yeah, I was trying to flush him out.
Ah, right.
Trying to flush out the identity of Chin Larden.
Right, right. Well, you got, have you got your suspicions, do you? Or you just
I
like,
do.
Just, yeah, right.
I do. So, and it was someone that was at Magic Round, I think.
Right. Interesting.
Because I followed them and they got a notification on their phone sitting next to me that said such and such has just followed you.
Oh, there you go. I think that's pretty much fair. I think that's pretty much... Rock solid intel then.
Next game.
Support for This Week in League is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Big news, Manscaped have just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and at all times. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good too? Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs.
I have a good story when it comes to Manscaped. I was gifted using our hashtag TwillNation discount code for Christmas. I was gifted the lawnmower and unfortunately it, I don't know if it was overuse or maybe it was just giving it too much work to do down there. There's a little bit of work required, and she stopped working. So we contacted Manscaped, and I can't say enough about their after sales service and support. And to be honest, from the time we made them aware that we're having an issue, it was an exchange of emails. We sent a short video and a photo at their request, and they immediately came back and had a replacement unit sent to us, which we received in 48 hours. Job's done. Bits have never been smoother, if I'm honest. Couldn't be happier.
How good.
There you go. And you guys have you sampled the new Manscaped signature scent?
I have given it a little bit of a dabble.
Yeah.
You know what?
Very, very, very consistent fragrance with the rest of the Manscaped stuff. So I was thinking, like, it was like, you know, with a young son who's like, you know, not quite a teenager yet, but getting to that stage where he needs to actually, you know, stop fucking,
man,
stop stinking.
Man, you gotta instill that shit early. That hygiene thing.
I tell you,
I'm telling you, early, as early as fucking possible.
Yeah,
Jay,
Yep. So that's what we
start the young fella. Like, if you haven't already, just ram it into him. Because once
who do you think I am?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Man, my boy's got fucking Comme des Garçons cologne in there. He knows he doesn't waste the good shit on his teacher.
So what you do is you throw in the Manscaped stuff, and it's just like, yeah, and it just works as like a kind of a full circle you know situation where it's like, you know, obviously, you know, he's your child, you know, he's the fruit of your balls, and so yeah, you can send him to school with smelling like your balls.
Here's my issue. You guys know the story of Pavlov's dogs?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
So Pavlov, for those who don't know, you know, fucking, I don't know why you wouldn't. You know, there was the latest, greatest miniseries on Netflix last year, Real Housewives of Pavlov, but had a scientific experiment where he proved that if he rang a bell before he fed his dogs dinner, they'd start to drool when he just rang the bell, because they'd be conditioned to know that the bell meant food.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And the sense scientists at Manscaped have hit onto such a fucking good thing when they were doing their ball wipes and other downstairs grooming area, that they've essentially stayed perfectly on brand for the new cologne. Now, they're not just ball wipes. For our lady listeners as well, they are fucking flap and fold wipes. And they do that job tremendously. So get in your fucking Terry folds and clear them out after you've been to the gym. But what you can do without your significant other even being aware is if you use the ball wipes for a couple of weeks and then slowly incorporate the new cologne without them knowing, they're going to Pavlov's dog it and not even understand why. So no, I won't be sending my boy to school wearing the cologne, because just in case his teacher's partner uses the ball wipes, I don't want her coming over to grade his fucking addition sums and fucking whoops, it's butter in the undies. So this shit is powerful and can elicit powerful reactions in the unaware. Use responsibly.
You know, I think when it comes to those wipes, I mean, I think they've missed an opportunity, like for a potential slogan for those as well. I mean, it's just like, you know, everything to take you from ass to mouth, because. they've obviously, got an incredible marketing machine, but it's a missed opportunity. But if you want to get any of their great products, don't forget you've got the Perfect Package 3.0, the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, all that good shit, the toner, the ball toner, etc., etc. The new cologne, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TWILNATION, all in caps, at manscaped.com. Your balls, your body, your child's teacher.
Well,
thank you.
Oh.
The Rabbitohs, 38, defeated the Parramatta Eels, 20.
Terry Folds, fucking...
Do you know where that comes from?
No, I've got no idea. It's the first time I've ever heard it, and it's fucking, it's going to stick.
I'll chuck it on the end of the episode. But I put that song on today. It was funny timing. For the first time in ages, I thought I didn't need to have a listen to it. But anyway, the Rabbitohs 38 defeat the Eels 20, Stadium Australia. The Rabbitohs 38 tries 2, Damien Cook. And a couple of hat tricks, one to AJ and one to Dane Gagai. Reynolds 5 of 7 conversions, defeating the Eels 20 tries to Gutherson, Papali'i, Sivo, and Arthur, and Mitchell Moses 2 conversions. Glenn,
Paris getting the wobbles. You hate to see it.
Look,
but more importantly, you love to see it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I spoke about Corey Norman, the game passing Corey Norman by. Blake Ferguson, He looked very much past it in this game. Completely owned. AJ and Gagai both getting hat tricks. I'd probably a good confidence boost for the Rabbitohs, but I think it probably says more about where the Eels are at. Lost to Manly convincingly, and another loss here. And this is the type of, you know, results that start having an impact on Mitch Moses and his desire and commitment. So it'd be interesting to see how he bounces back from that and whether, you know, his maturity has grown to a level where he can really respond and get them back on track. Because ultimately, as much as King Gutho is the man that everyone wants to say is that he's, you know, head of culture at the Eels and drags everyone along, Moses is the one with the talent and direction that has to get that team back on track. And he's shown in the past, certainly in his time at the Tigers, that he can turn up his toes and pack it in. But as I said, hopefully he's matured, because Brad Arthur will be certainly looking to him to steady the ship. I don't know if he's got it in him.
Look, the thing is here. It was last week. It was their left hand, their right hand side defense that was just absolutely fucking destroyed over and over again. How do they fix that in a week? They're like, oh, we'll just go and fucking hide old Wunga Blake over on the other side of the field. Like, that's going to fucking change anything. Like, yeah, let's introduce a new combination on the right and still leave Blake Ferguson over there, who was, you know, more than had his share of the blame to hold. It wasn't just Wunga Blake.
Yeah.
And so what's the result? Instead of getting about 4 tries run down that side, this time they get 6.
Yeah.
Parramatta, and we've said it before, they were punching above their weight for a lot of the season, just on enthusiasm. And that early season, I would suggest as well that they were a relatively fit team coming into the season, probably fitter than most.
Yep.
But that's now plateaued for them. They weren't at that Penrith and Melbourne level of fitness. And that's now plateaued, and other teams have caught up to them just by nature of playing the games. But essentially, Parramatta are a bunch of just above average footballers. And on a night when enough of them have those, you know, just above average games, they can get in and they can beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they beat Melbourne in the rain, which again is the great equaliser. But they did that by a bunch of them just playing good, solid rugby league. I don't think they've got the longevity in them. And to the point you're making about Penrith, can they stay up for the whole season? I think that's Brad Arthur's next challenge with this team. You know, he's got them good in spurts, and he's got them good in certain situations, but he now needs to really give them another couple of levels to go to in order to sustain their position as a heavyweight through an entire season.
Fair point.
That's it.
Also, fuck them. On the socials. Oop, hang on, that's a doggies one. Jesus Christ. Ryan, now you gotta explain this one to me. I'm a referential retard here. Said, why does Nathan Brown look like the kind of guy at school you say Ligma or Sugma to and he falls for it? What the fuck does that mean?
You'd say it's like Ligma balls.
Ah, okay, cool.
That's what it would be, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
If I had to guess.
Dean said, Brad Arthur looks like an obvious undercover cop at a music festival, all wide-eyed, pretending to be pinging to blend in.
I'll tell you what, though, it is crazy, like, how methed he looks. Like, and it's become such a meme, like, you're smashing the waters.
I was going to say, he's got 47 empty Mount Franklins in front of him.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Super Grover said, how dumb do you need to be to let exactly the same try in 3 times and not learn? Apparently, you have to be dick fingers dumb.
Mm-hmm.
At JBartley90 on Twitter. Said, team with inherently bad edge defense gets rolled by team with lethal edge attack. Para's Achilles heel exposed once more. And Peter, who's at Mad Rabido PJ, said Brad's channeling Sticky going down to the sideline to coach. Now he needs the overhead projector. Jesus fucking Christ. At Glint Cutherson said same shit every year. Start the year well and everyone praises us. As the season goes on, we get worse. Something needs to change. There you go. And at Melchid6 on Twitter said Cookie's kangaroo and the smile it put on Walker's face. Pretty fucking awesome. How good.
That's it. Okay, the Roosters 44 defeated the Raiders 16 at Central Coast Stadium. The Roosters 44 came through tries to Suwali, Lamb, Tupo, Josh Morris, and a double to Tupanua, and a double to Joseph Manu. Kieran, 6 conversions from 8 attempts. The Raiders 16 tries to Hodgson, Horsberg, and Ryan James. Sam Williams, 2 or 3 conversions.
Fuck, I feel bad for Ryan James.
Yeah.
You know, had a less than ceremonious exit from a club he gave his fucking heart and soul to.
Mm-hmm.
To a club that you thought, well, you know, fuck, they're going to be a contender. And he's ended up in this shit show. Poor cunt.
Yeah. Is Ricky in trouble yet?
Maybe it's not. No, he's not. He's not at all in trouble. And the reason why is think about the Canberra Raiders as an organisation. They've sacked one coach in the history of the organization, and that coach had a fucking extremely long leash and went on way longer than he should have.
Yeah, well,
Ricky
given his surname, that's not fucking surprising.
I mean, but Ricky is, like, I dare say, I mean, surname aside, a more beloved son of that fucking club. And, like, I just don't think it's in them. Like, you know, a team like the Dogs, for example, they'll sack a coach, like, they'll fucking, you know, like they'll swap out a fucking with Tenny Zalesniak. Like,
Tigers are there saying, hold my beer. Yeah. I'll show you how to sack a coach, cuts.
Yeah, and the Tigers, you know, same thing. I mean, you know, I feel like the Tigers are kind of like they seem to be coming out of that era because, you know, coincidentally, you know, when Robbie Farrell left. But the Raiders are not a coach sacking culture. And I think, and Ricky being who he is, I think that they'll clear out all the fucking palms before they get rid of him. They'll clear out every fucking palm. The main thing that I enjoyed about this game that I want to talk about, Joey Manu had possibly the best 5 minutes, individual 5 minutes in the history of the fucking game. What an unbelievable where he scored that try and then they get the next set down. Then he does the chip and chase glorious fucking recovery try to follow up, you know, the try that he scored, you know, for a couple of minutes earlier. It was just an amazing individual. And that was through the middle as well. I mean, like, this is, you know, all of a sudden he decided he was a fucking roving commissioned centre. You know, pulling off individual acts of brilliance and looked like an absolute fucking god there for 5 minutes, which had put the game well out of Canberra's reach. Because once again, which we've failed to mention, the Raiders again, what were they up? 10-0 this time?
Yeah.
10-0, looking super strong, composed, in control, and then the 30th minute hits again, and bang, bang, they go into halftime down, and that was the end of it.
Mm.
Joey Marnie, as you mentioned, played 6, unconventional selection. Had a touch of the Tim Sheens about it, but it was an opportunity for him to remind everyone just how good he is. And I think he gets overshadowed by so many other stars in that team. And he's out there in the centres and he does a job. But
he kind of fades in and out though a little bit too, not of games but of seasons. Like he sort of sat back a bit. Was it last year? But then the year before he was just. He was God mode, and you're going, wow, he's actually the best centre in the club, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I don't know. So, hypothetical, Raiders get rid of all the Poms.
Mm-hmm.
Does that actually fix the fucking problem?
Look.
Because ultimately I think the problem is Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, look, it's tough to say, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, though, they've got a massive English problem that started by Bateman on the way out the door, has continued with George Williams, and then you've got Hodgson coming out and defending him, and I mean, although, you know, although Hodgson did play very well, you know, and he proved that obviously he can stick up for a mate, but he's still putting in and wants to be, you know, a contributor to this side. But then I hear on the weekend that I don't know whether they'd phrase it as likely, but it's looking very possible that Hodgson fucking winds up at Brisbane. So,
yeah, right.
So that gets, you know, then that leaves what, Whitehead?
Mm.
Who in the scheme of things is their least problematic Pom. I don't think they've ever had a peep out of him.
Yeah.
No.
So, but look, yeah, I no, like, does it I solve it? I don't think it does, but I mean, I just don't think sacking Ricky is an option for the club at this point. I just don't think they'll do it. I mean, like, we all go, well, you know, obviously Ricky's a huge part of the problem, if not the problem.
Ricky Stewart, to me, seems way too fucking close to his players. As in, if you look at all of the successful coaches, the ones that are considered great coaches, never would you consider them one of the boys. You know? Never would you consider them one of the boys in terms of their relationship with the players, but also in how they understand their role as a coach.
Mm. There's always a level of separation.
That's it.
No matter how close they are with the players.
And even the players he was closest to, like when he had that fucking weird thing going on with Darius and and all those other players that he's essentially had that father-like relationship with, he was never one of the boys. He was the coach. Whereas I get the impression that Ricky Stewart sort of almost wants to insert himself into the playing group.
Yeah.
As in, he misses that side of it far too much. And it's all this about we do this and we do this and we do this. But it's not we in the sense of a club. It's we in the sense of a playing group, you know? And you can see that Ricky's desperately trying to have that relationship with guys like Whiten, who by all rights seems to fucking really like him, you know? And he's had his problems in the past and now appears to be a nice, normal member of society, you fucking hope. But I think unless you try that from up above, all that does is come off as picking favourites.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Ricky Stewart needs to understand that he is a coach and he's not one of them.
Yeah.
And start fucking acting like it.
All right. Give me some socials.
There were fucking very few socials on that one. David in the Facebook group said the irony of JWH being the victim of foul play and not the guy going to the bin. Never in all my days did I expect to say that. There you go. Chris, the time for the real cocks to rise up against Volandi's soft cock rules. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Jesus Christ. And while there weren't many socials, David said Ryan James supplying knees that got American officers put behind bars. That's that.
Right, the Sharkies 38 defeat the Titans 10 at Coffs. The Sharkies 38 came through tries to Ramian, Williams, Blake Brayley, Connor Tracy, and a double to the Moot, making Moots great again. Sean Johnson, 6 conversions and a penalty goal, and the Titans, their 10 came through tries to Brian Kelly and Kevin Proctor with a conversion to Jamal Fogarty. Yeah, look, but first things first, obviously, now the Sharkies fans have got the halves combination that they've been screaming for over the last, you know, couple of months, and they've got it, and they perform well, and they look better than they have in a long time. But holy fuck, the Titans' defense could be the worst in the competition at this point.
Yeah.
They're another club with the mid-season wobbles in the same sort of realm as Parramatta. I think Holbrook's got a hell of a job on his hands to get them back to their peak, because they just, their eyes were as big as dinner plates there when the Sharks really started to come at them strong, and they didn't have an answer, and the decision-making defensively was fucking atrocious. Just on Johnson and Moylan, as a halves combination, there's potential there for there's a window. It's probably a season, maybe two, that they could be fucking dynamite together if they can stay healthy. But I just it's a very narrow window, and I don't know if there's enough pieces around them at the Sharks to fully exploit that. But at their best, they're both quality.
For what it's worth, players. I do know, and the answer is no.
Okay. As in, it can't stay healthy.
No, as in, there's not enough pieces around them.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Interesting point, though. Like, at the risk of sounding antiquated, or, you know, this is how you must play the game or structure your team, I look at Moylan and Johnson, and while both potentially amazingly dynamic players, pre-injury Johnson, the most dangerous broken field player in the league. We all know what Moylan's done through his, youthful career. But can you win a premiership without that classic organisational half? Just in one of them, not in both, but just that capacity to have an array of different kicks, not even tricky ones, just an accurate boot and a consistent boot.
Yeah, look, yeah,
I don't think you can.
I feel like this combination was, while it was, it's better than the Sharks have looked, in attack for quite some time. I feel like they were just ably abetted by a fucking side that was just woeful in defence and made everything look genius.
Yes.
That they did. And I'd love to see them against them, but, a side that's not coming in with that kind of mindset. I mean, not that the Titans came in with that mindset, but they were like just basic defense and tackling was fucking woeful. And, they must be getting close to the point where they need to sack Holbrook because, the glows come off that one.
Yeah.
Talk about a team that can sack a fucking coach.
Yeah. I mean, they'll give him the sense of security first. They'll throw him on for 5 years.
Yeah, Titans are the intercontinental champions.
Socials on that one.
Yep.
Thomas on Twitter, who is at Thomas58599865. Fuck, there's a lot of Thomases. The Titans are awful. Bottom four side. How is Kevin Proctor still in first grade? Ben in the Facebook group said, as I sit back and bathe in the afterglow of a post-Chadless victory, I can't help but think, how fucking good is a Chadless victory? A bag of dicks is on its way, Cowboys. Enjoy. Nathan.
Did you say bag of dicks to Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in a while. I mean, they'll go fucking stale if he sends them now. I mean, Chad's not going early, is he?
Oh, who knows? No. Anything's possible.
Now that Dearden's taken the early option, I don't think they'll go both of them, will they?
Nathan said this young number six for the Sharks will be a lot faster and stronger in years to come. And Bennett in the Facebook group said Gold Coast versus Cronulla in Coffs Harbour. I thought it was Indigenous round, not meth head surfers round. Fantastic.
That's it.
That's it.
Newcastle Knights 18 defeat the mighty Manly Seagulls 10 in Newcastle. The Knights 18 came through tries to Stafford, Toa, Suaso, Sue and Daniel Saifidi. Tex Foy with two conversions, Mitch Barnett with one. Seagulls tries to Parker and Saab with Garrick with a conversion. Who's going first?
All yours, my friend.
I feel like you guys should start and then I can finish. Well, all right.
Bring us home.
I'm just going to point out that I did not make a single fucking note on this game because I knew that you were going to do you. So fucking go and do you.
All right. Well, look, at the end, I had a bad feeling about this game on the day before game day. Just when you start getting the weather reports and it's a heavy track, and then like the morning of the game, you get Schuster withdrawn. I'm like, I'm fucking great. So we've exhausted all the 5/8s in our squad, and then we had to put a centre who hasn't played this year in at 5/8 to go with all of our fucking second rowers that have been exhausted from the squad. So we're playing hookers in the back row and shit like that. But despite all that, it was really just some poor discipline, and I'd just like to make it clear I've got no problem with any of the fucking binnings that Manly players took, or any of the binnings that Manly players didn't take either. Like, for example, I think it was Funa with the incidental contact in that challenge for the high ball, where he sort of, you know, where he brushed the face of Hoy or whoever it was.
I was surprised he was didn't go for that.
It was basically there was nothing forceful or anything about it. I mean, he basically just brushed him in the thing. That's the reason. Yeah, that's the reason why he didn't go, and it was a penalty. So,
I'm saying, so it wouldn't have been contact with the head. I would have sent him for a dangerous tackle. It wasn't contact with the head. It was the fact that he did it in the air and caused him to land the way he did. That's just again,
because he didn't land particularly in a bad way or anything though either. Because he barely brushed him. Like there was no body to body contact.
Tailbone.
Guess what? Fucking kids have been doing that since the fucking time they're like they first fucking can pull themselves onto their feet. The human body is conditioned for that fucking activity, and structurally reinforced for that very fucking task. Like no problem with Kepis as well.
You'd defend that fucking driver in that video from China we got sent this week. They all stepped out of nowhere.
I didn't see. I haven't watched that video. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll send it to you again.
There's some crazy shit in China though with that sort of thing. Anyway, but at the same time, well, I mean, it's like it's crazy to talk about it while we're talking about a game and stuff. But like I saw a thing saying that it's actually like a cultural thing that if you run over a guy, if you have a traffic accident and you maim someone, then you're kind of liable for their medical bills for going forward forever, sort of thing.
Freakonomics did a study on it.
Yeah, and so you see situations there now where like you know they clip a guy on a bicycle and he fucking falls over, they'll fucking back over the cunt five times to try and kill him because it's cheaper to
pay for a death
than pay for a lifetime medical bills. Yeah, it's fucking cold blooded. But much the same as Ben Cummins referees fucking games in the National Rugby League. He'd much rather back over a team for 80 minutes than go forward to see them win the 2021 NRL Premiership. But I mean, honestly, the Cummins family and what they've done to the fucking game of rugby league in this country is fucking crazy. It's I hate to bring a movie reference into it, but can you imagine like if Toy Story? You've seen Toy Story, I'm sure, Glenn.
I sure have.
I had a feeling that you'd say yes. Imagine if Toy Story like played out differently though, and like instead of when Sid the little cunt next door when he's got the toys and he's pulling them apart and all that sort of stuff. Imagine if Woody's fucking attempt to save Buzz goes awry and they don't get to save them and they don't save the other toys and they don't save Buzz and like Woody's dead, Buzz is dead, and that's the end of it. So from henceforth going forward, Sid, anytime he wants to fucking set up a situation in a game for it to go the way that he wants to, you know, to go, and he wants to set the toys up the way he wants them to go and pull toys apart, you know, that are the superior toys and pull them apart so the inferior toys can fucking win his little game that he's fucking created for himself. There's no Woody and Buzz to fucking save the day anymore. And in this analogy, of course, you know, Cummins is fucking Sid. And
Sid Cummins.
And Gavin Badger, of course, is Woody, and you know Matt Chechen is Buzz, and they've been killed out of the game by you know this guy and his little fucking and his family fifed them in the refereeing ranks, and this is the sort of thing we get. I do note that Desi has not been fined $10,000 for his comments, and like while they weren't like outright
protected species.
Well, you know, I think it's similar to what happened today in the news with Christian Porter abandoning his defamation case against the ABC, and so I think it just comes down to the fact that these rapists can't fucking alleged rapists of females and rugby league games. They don't actually. They can't find anything legally actionable when the person who's spoken up about them has told the truth. I thought Morgan Harper was fantastic in this game.
That tirade,
absolutely.
That tirade was so bad and went into my ear holes with so little consent that even the JDB jury would have no problem seeing that for what it was.
Now, You're throwing in these rape accusations far too freely, Jay. Now, Morgan Harper was fantastic. Completely shut Bradman Best down out of the game. I don't really know who of the Knights to even speak. I think, well, I mean, we've been saying that fucking Watson hasn't been getting enough time and should be getting more time in the halves, considering, you know, the Pierce being out and everything. And I think he justified his existence and, you know, was one of their better players. It's really hard to fucking isolate any other Knights players who were fucking great, because, I mean, like, they didn't have to do anything. I mean, they were set up in position 20 metres out and, you know, and then just fucking, you know, game on, and they just had their opportunity just to, you know, on and on and on again against 12 players. But, yeah. Ill discipline on the Manly side was the only reason. Had nothing to do with any of the refereeing, any of the inconsistencies. The fact that Newcastle players weren't even penalised for things that were put on report and got longer suspensions than the Manly players who were let off their misdemeanours that they were sin binned for is not inconsistent at all. And
excellent.
Now I can let you talk, Glenn.
I legit have nothing to say.
So true on that one. Alexander.
It's just now I realise you're not a fan of rugby league, Glenn.
Alexander.
What happened to that Aussie battler? That Aussie battler that fucking used to that used to come in and fucking speak truth to power with a pack of Winnie Greens in his fucking hands and a Woodstock in the other. An early times six pack.
Sounds like the poster boy for white power. Alexander in the Facebook group said, full credit to Anthony Seibold. Isaac said, Tex Hoy is better than Tommy Turbo. And yes, he is. Ryan.
Under no metric.
Said, no excuses. This is why we lost. Poor discipline and a 9-1 penalty count and 12 men for 20 minutes. Well, I'll say to you, Ryan, what I say to everybody else. The way to win games is when you have somebody in the sin bin, score 2 tries. It's a fucking proven template. I don't know what you find fucking hard about it. Stop bitching about things, and when you are a man down, score 2 tries. Jesus, you simple cunt. Troy said, as a Knights fan, I'm happier than Prince Andrew on Epstein Island.
I didn't see that one. That's great.
At not LV05 says, bye-bye. Epic result for Saifiti. Destroyed Tapau's credibility and put him in the bin in one shot. How good. Lambretta, GP1971, who I'm now a little bit concerned if he is an actual GP and doesn't just like fucking motor racing.
I want to say it's his first initial and second initial, maybe.
There you go. Said
up maybe his name's Greg.
Boom. Symmetry. Full circle moment of the
that's
show.
That's what in comedy we refer to as a callback.
I think we've called back like 4 times to the old Greg situation in this episode.
Did you ever watch The Mighty Boosh?
Oh, only partially, not religiously. But I mean, when there were episodes on, I did watch several, yes.
There's an episode with a character called Old Greg.
Surely, are we just going to call this episode Greg?
Yeah, look, I actually made a note earlier that the first time we started talking about it, I was gonna call it Greg's in gravy. I don't know if we could call it Greg. I don't know. Greg's in gravy has like a super mysterious fucking. Like, there's no one can parse that and figure out what that is just from reading those 3 words in sequence.
Very true. But Lambretta will finish us off. He said, up until this game, the referees had found the right balance. But this game proved that being an NRL fan is like living in Joseph Fritzl's cellar. Every time you see a ray of light, you get fucked.
This was a terrible game, like just from just general entertainment, you know, rugby league spectacle.
Oh, dead giveaway.
Especially on a weekend where things started, like, it felt like, you know, by and large, a lot of things kind of sort of calmed down a little bit. And then, you know, then they roll out the last round where they just go fucking berserk again, like it was fucking, you know, magic round, the sequel. But yeah. Well, what was it? What was that? Fritzel wasn't the dead giveaway guy. What was the.
No.
Yeah. What was the dead giveaway guy's name? I can't remember. He was some kind of Hispanic dude, wasn't he?
For the second time tonight, I'm going to go Googling shit. I probably shouldn't.
Your search history is going to have you imprisoned.
Oh, man, it's actually just improved.
Dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway.
Now, while you're looking that up, because inquiring minds need to know, I say wrap it up. That's full time for episode 403. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab the link to our Patreon, our social media communities, and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And if you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. And once again, I've said it a couple of times this season, but it's amazing to see the influx of people into the Facebook group this season. And, you know, you see, like, you know, groups of, like, you know, batches of like four and five in a row that have all been, you know, one of their friends has invited them and they've all gone, you know, come to flood in and everything. So it's great. The numbers have gone pretty good.
And Jesus fucking Christ, go and find some Roosters fans to say nice things on their fucking games or nice things that are worth reading out.
Especially when, you know, we're kind of giving the Roosters a fair bit of credit for the way that they persevered through, you know, adversity this season. But it can't all be just for us to say.
I'm persevering through the fucking adversity of Roosters fans writing shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, dare I say that perhaps the representation of Roosters fans in comments on games is the exact same ratio percentage.
Roosters fans at games.
In existence.
Exactly. Before we close the show, I'd love to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. Thank you so much for your support. Robert, Shanta, and Lachlan. And I think Lachlan may have been patient zero on the Patreon. He's definitely one of the first. So thank you, sir. Appreciate all you guys. And yeah, thanks for your support. Do you fellas have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this one up?
No. Shout out to Greg.
Look forward to talking about the origin, but yeah, on the next episode. On that note, see ya then.
Later. See ya.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.